If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful. Welcome in. It is Thursday, May 22nd, 2025, and it's time for your TNA Impact post show. Oh, you may be looking at us being like, oh, why aren't you doing an AEW Collision post show? Or why aren't you paying more attention to it? Well, listen. Three things. One, Collision was taped. So was TNA Impact. But, you know, you all know what was happening on Collision. You didn't know what was happening on it. Maybe you did. Okay, let's skip number one. Number two. AEW Double or Nothing is this weekend. We're going to have tons of coverage for you, both on Fightful Select, the best $5.99 in the business, and also over here on this channel where there will be post shows. There will be people talking about it. There will be people previewing the card. There will be plenty of content. So you want to get it out. And number three, we're not doing a TNA Under Siege post show. We're just not. Twofold. One, I'll be at the show, so I can't really do a post show for a show that I'm attending live into the card. So Chris is here.
And I have a fourth one. I have a fourth sneaky one.
Please. Yeah. Give us a fourth.
Fret not about the Collision post show. Saturday, myself and Iridian will be going over Saturday night's main event and we'll have the AEW Collision post show. So you will get your sweet wrestling hit. So relax, guys. I got you. We got you. We got you. I got you. We got you.
That sounds awful. You guys are going to do Saturday night's main event and Collision?
Two words, two syllables, yee yee, whatever it is. Yeah, yeah, yee. I don't know. Listen, I said letters. I don't watch wrestling.
Four letters, one word, yeet.
I don't watch wrestling. Yeah, I don't even know what I'm doing here.
Well, we are here, and it is the go-home to TNA Under Siege. That is tomorrow night in Cresta. I've never seen a wrestling company do this before. They have openly admitted that they are not in Toronto. They are in Brampton, Ontario, which is a suburb of Toronto. In between, it's next to the airport, effectively, and the airport's near Mississauga. Mississauga is a large city. Brampton is not. Very strange, but regardless, tomorrow night, TNA Under Siege will be live in Brampton, and then they're going to tape Impact the next night on Saturday. We got plenty to talk about. Like I said, Cresta is here. How are you doing tonight?
I am sports concerned. I'm positive Pete today, even though I'm losing it. I don't know if you've seen that clip from Death Becomes Her, but that's how I feel. Like, he took my life. You made me cuckoo. Like, that's what TNA is doing to me. You're making me cuckoo, but it's okay. I'm still going to watch in this health spa. How are you, Joel?
I'm okay. We have been through a very interesting and rough 36 hours in this house. So I'm sleep deprived, but I'm here. And we're going to have fun, and hopefully y'all will join us as well by leaving a thumbs up on the video. Goes a long way. It's the free option, along with subscribing to us here at Fightful. We're on our way, marching towards 200,000 subscriptions. We want to get to that 200,000 subs, and it's free 99 to get involved. Fightful Select is one of the ways that you can give us your money, and we appreciate your money. Best $5.99 in the business. We're going to have tons of news and notes going into Saturday night's main event and going into AEW Double or Nothing, and maybe we'll have some Under Siege notes. Maybe we'll have a little bit to talk about, including, you know, we did break a story not too long ago about TNA and Ace Austin being in negotiations. Well, some news came out regarding that, and we'll get into it in a little bit regarding Ace Austin's potential situation with TNA Wrestling. But along with that, you can donate a Super Chat. Any amount, get your question or statement read on the air that supports the show, supports us directly. Tell Sean that we are good at what we do, which we are, by the way. Don't let anyone else tell you otherwise, because it's true. And our Humper Chats are another way you can do it. Cresta, please, the honors.
You can support us over on humperchats.com. You can take your thumbs on your phone or your fingies, or if you have a stylus because you're rich, you got one of those fancy phones, head on over to humperchats.com, put your dollar amount, put your comment. We get to keep a little bit more of the dollar amount. I'm happy. Joel's happy. Sean is happy. Tell us we're fabulous there. Joel and myself will give you our 2 cents that make a dollar. Humperchats.com. Do it or I'll choke you. Apparently y'all like that. So
yeah, I feel like you're incentivizing people not to do it when you say that.
That's all I got. That's my threatening phase.
You're going to threaten them with a good time?
For a Humper Chat, sure. I mean, it's in the name.
Well, anyway. Someone in the chat saying, you're very good at what you do, and I bet both of you would watch Freddy Got Fingered willingly. Are you up on the situation with this, with Alex and Kate?
I know, but Freddy Got Fingered is a very old movie with Tom Green.
Okay, so here's what happened. Last week, Sean Ross Sapp, our very own, said to both Kate and Alex, who do Sour Graps over on Fightful Select, by the way, get in on that, they should be watching and reviewing Hot Rod, which is one of my personal favorite movies of all time. Are you familiar with the movie Hot Rod?
I feel like I should know that, but I don't. Is that with Will Farrell?
No, Will Arnett's in it, but it's Andy Samberg playing an awful stuntman who's not very good.
I would have never seen that. Andy Samberg is not in my wheelhouse. Thank you so much.
Well, it's time for you to go watch it because it's an amazing movie. Regardless, Alex did not like it, but they watched the movie. They did a review, and out of this came the idea that they should also review Freddy Got Fingered, to which Alex said, I will do it for $1,000. So now it is on. If someone is going to donate $1,000 for Alex and Kate to do a review of that movie, they'll put it behind the paywall and they'll do it.
Freddy Got Fingered is such an odd choice. I feel like if you're going to do Freddy Got Fingered, you got to do like Spaceballs or what's that other cop one with that was really Super Troopers, because I feel like that's in the same vein.
Yeah, Spaceballs you can't do because that's more of a... It was not an homage. What's the word? It's a spoof. It's parody. Whereas Hot Rod's an original, and so is, yeah. Anyway, whatever you do, listen. I mentioned this on In the Weeds, which is a show that we do. Yeah, Old School's another one that I personally like. But on In the Weeds, which is the show that I do in the mornings over on Fightful Overbook, that's our sister's channel. Go get on that, by the way. Hot Rod's a movie that I've loved forever and ever. Amen. So you should go watch it. And Freddy Got Fingered, Tom Green grew up in Ottawa, which is my hometown, Ottawa, Ontario, Canada. He was never in my like wheelhouse, but I always knew about him. Uh-huh. But also he's chilled out immensely over the years. Like he lives on a farm now outside of Ottawa. Like he's got a farm and he's got engaged. He's doing the regular dude life, who then goes to LA and like does pitches for shows and stuff, but like he's mellowed out.
Sometimes you just gotta be a really wild boy, because I think there's only one other celebrity I can think who did that, and that was the guy from Jackass who used to get, yeah, he's super sober now. Like he cleaned up, what's that Weezer song? He's cleaned up, found Jesus, things are good, or so I hear. That's Steve-O right now, so I respect it. I sometimes, if you're a really really wild boy, you gotta chill out. You can't be a wild boy in your 60s. That, hey.
You made a Weezer reference in 2025. Good for you.
Hey, you'd be surprised at my taste of music. You'll find everything from Four Seasons to Mudvayne. So, sure. Cardi B and Show Tunes.
Are you an emo girl too?
Depends on the emo. I do like... I don't know if Evanescence is emo. If you want to get into the music, it's more like gothic rock, but I do gothic, like, yeah. So if emo, I guess old school emo would be Panic at the Disco, Fall Out Boy, My Chemical Romance, Distillers. So that's my extent of emo. maybe asking Alexandria or more of the screamo end, but
okay. I when I went to Grand Slam, the first Grand Slam that AEW put on, I had a friend who was coming in from LA and she was less interested in the AEW event. She was still interested and she was going because we were both kind of FOMO about it. But she really wanted to go to the GCW emo fight that was happening the next night because she's a huge emo fan. Ironically, in all this, she ended up working for AEW the next year, not as a talent, as backstage. But yeah, long story short, I needed to ask about emo because emo fight was another one that I had a really good time at GCW emo fight. They did it at the Melrose Ballroom in New York.
I need to go to a GCW and get over my fear of blood.
Yes, you should. And not every match in GCW is like a bloodbath. You can have a lot of fun at those.
I'm soft.
That's fine. They're coming to Coney Island.
Ha! Yo, fun fact about New York. No matter where you live at in New York City, unless you're in next to Coney Island, Coney Island is 2 hours away from you. Bro, Coney Island is far.
That's true. I get it. It's true. But like they're never going to work like an inside venue. Like they're never going to work like a... they're never going to go somewhere in New York that's not... If they're not working Hammerstein, then they're going to be like Coney Island. That's what it is. They're not gonna, because there's no real like wrestling-centric venue for GCW to go to because House of Glory has their own, right? They got the one that they run all the time.
The place that runs House of Glory isn't like just for wrestling, but even not for nothing, GCW is a little bit of a bigger crowd than House of Glory. So I'm thinking of a GCW crowd. Y'all not going to fit in the House of Glory place. So y'all would need Hammerstein. You know what I mean? So yeah.
Regardless, you should just go to Coney Island and go to the show.
Take me 4 hours to travel. Oh.
Deanna's on the show. You like Deanna Purrazzo? She's
I do. I love Deanna Purrazzo. I love her.
There's your reason to go right there.
All right. Well, see you there, GCW.
Well, let's talk about TNA Impact because I'm sure the people are 10 minutes in just waiting on their bated breath.
You said this is TNA. What is this? We talked about emo. We talked about GCW.
Sometimes you got to give the people what they want. They're not going to send us super chats. So then we're just going to go off the rails with whatever we want to do.
We're going to make our own super chat.
It's fine. All the TNA people who watch the show are going to be like, scrub, 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 scrub. They ain't watching. They got a show to do tomorrow anyway. TNA Impact opens up with Mustafa Ali defeating Ace Austin. The report came in today from Scott D'Amore on his Yahoo Sports column that Ace Austin is departing TNA. That this is it. And it looks to be furthered by the Under Siege match that was made coming out of this match from Ali and Austin that they're going to have Order 4 take on Rascals, Indy Hartwell, and a mystery person. So regardless, they had Ace go out selling his knee. He's day-to-day, so I guess they were hoping at the time that he wouldn't that they would come to terms, but it looks like it's an amicable split if that is what's going on. But Ace is not part of the Order 4 tag tomorrow night. But let's talk about the match. Ali defeats Austin, and it looks like this was a big old leg screw to get Austin to lose the match. It was good, though. What'd you think of it?
Ali is mad at everybody but himself. You lost to Mike Santana, so you took it out on Ace Austin's leg. Knowing that Ace Austin is leaving, this is storyline-wise, it makes sense. Whether it was whether it was actual injury or just full-on contract, that's another story. But from a fan perspective, it made sense. In the storyline, Ali, you're mad like you were last time. I'm trying to think who beat you up last time, and this is exactly what you did. You were mad at everybody else. You beat up a bunch of people until you got that third match, and then you disbanded your group, and you went off to go find your smile or whatever. So it's like, I'm not mad at it. This makes sense. Pulling Tasha Steelz in to cover so the ref doesn't see you cheating or whatever. Fantastic. I like everything about Mustafa Ali. Sad to see Ace Austin go, because to me, this is someone you really could have made him your X Division champion forever and ever. That international title, you could have put on him. I'll even go one step further and say that if you wanted to do something really different in TNA, someone like Ace Austin really could have been your TNA champion. He's been loyal to the company. Even if it's for a few, that would have been it. It's sad to see him go, but also that he got a bright future ahead of him. That's a young man with potential. So I wish nothing but the best for him.
28 years old, plenty ahead of him is Ace Austin. Quadzilla, as we affectionately refer to him here. Because just look.
I mean, I've been watching TNA a long time. I've seen from whence he came, and he's literally Godzilla, Godzilla now. He, I mean, before he had legs, but now they're like quads.
Yeah, that's all. He's just quads. He's not even like, there's no leg. It's just quad.
Just all quad. No bodies.
Time to bust. No, never mind. Regardless, they did work over the legs, not just the quad. You mentioned the Tasha Steele spot. So yeah, Ali grabs Tasha Steele's and uses her as a shield to stop Austin on his comeback. And then Ali wins with a leg chop block into a leg vine submission. And then so this is where it got interesting. Post-match, Ali's doing his bullying shtick and he's walking around talking his stuff to everyone. And then he walks up to Ray Walt and Hannafin. And I thought to myself, are they going to get Matthew Ray Walt to be the special guest tag partner? Because there's no one else on the roster that I can think of. And there's no like Canadian star that I think people would get excited about in Toronto. Sorry, Brampton, about joining.
I thought it'd be an NXT person, but also commentators fighting wrestlers is all the rage nowadays. So it could be.
They haven't done enough to make it Ray Walt. It just felt like they really dug into it tonight.
He just kept yelling, tell the people, tell them, like, tell them what, Ali, that you lost? What are we telling the people? I'm sports confused.
Ray Walt's also a bad guy on commentary. So like, it doesn't make a lot of sense if you do it. It's just, yeah. Follow up asking about my beard. Has it always been this big or did I grow it in the last 2 days? My beard has not been trimmed since Mania week. I meant to do it today and I meant to get a haircut today because I'm going to Under Siege tomorrow.
Somebody cue, I'm losing my mind. I need to start eating ginkgo biloba because I see the person's face, but I can't think of their name. I was going to say, cue the he's a man's music.
William Regal? Regal?
Yes, yes, yes. I could see his face. I see Danielson laughing at him when they played it, but I couldn't think of his name for the life of me.
My beard is getting trimmed tomorrow. That's the plan. Everything is just, it's everything got blown out. My spots got blown today. So there you go. We got a super chat from Kaza saying money's for the best wrestling post show on Thursdays. Well, thank you. This is the best one. No one can take that away from us. Who else works on Thursdays, huh? Nobody.
Not Sean.
That's true. He's watching the WNBA. Good for him. Rosemary took out Layne Lee and says Zaya Brookside, which is still impossible to think about because she used to be, Layne Lee used to be Zaya Lee, and now I see Zaya Brookside, and whenever I write this on my notes, I get very confused as to who I'm talking about. So Rosemary took out Layne Lee and says Zaya needs to decide it under siege whether she joins the dark side or gets dragged into it kicking and screaming, and then later on, Zaya Brookside is sitting with Layne Lee, helping her get her wits about her, says, I'm stronger than you think, Rosemary. I'm fighting for myself and anyone else who refuses to sell their soul. And what do you do when there's a match about souls on the line? No, you don't do it at WrestleMania. You do it on the countdown to the show. So Zaya Brookside versus Rosemary on the countdown to Under Siege.
Just go evil. Just go evil. That's where I'm at with this. I saw it last week. I think it makes Zaya interesting. Poor Layne Lee, you're about to get jumped.
It's time to start building some heels for Masha. It's Agreed. Time to start building some different characters. And I think this particular show has the ability to tell a bunch of knockout stories and start putting together new knockouts who will challenge different knockouts for different stories. But also, your tag division is still a mess. We'll get to that in a little bit. But it really does feel like Zaya Brookside is going to be joining the dark side very soon. If not tomorrow night, then during the tapings.
If you don't, I miss you, Jessica Havoc. Please come back.
She's healthy.
Come back, Havoc.
The Aztec Warriors defeat the Northern Armory, to which my first note was, really? Really? Huh.
Let me tell you that this is the second time the Aztec Warriors broke the what do luchadors do in TNA curse? Lose.
I think someone's been pointing it out to them a little too much, and now they understand it.
Listen, if that's what it takes, I'm here for it, because now things are a little less predictable. I'm here for it, and your tag team division right now is kind of on life support. So Let's go.
We'll see. I wish they would just continue the bit. Just keep the bit. That's all they need to do.
That's crazy.
The Northern Armory, easy for me to say, their theme is perfect. I love what it's become. I think it's creepy enough, but it's just a vibe and it works for them. It's so good. The tag team Center and Saint, Northern Armory coming out wearing the t-shirts from the Macklin dog collar match was really, really good stuff. I like the commentary is selling how creepy they are as a team. That's fun. Judas Icarus is biting Laredo Kid's mask. Sorry, he's now just Laredo, not Laredo Kid. Biting the mask. Eric Young wants to fight a fan. They're just an unhinged trio of people. Travis Williams loses focus during the match because he wants to fight the fan with Eric Young and back him up. Instead, he loses focus and Icarus gets beat up by the Aztec Warriors. Williams tries to get back into it, but in the end, Octagon pins Icarus after a split-legged moonsault, and the Aztec Warriors win, but it took a little bit of... a little bit of tomfoolery from the outside and on the inside. This was a good match. I think that both teams are not only very special, but also very chemical. They have good chemistry is what I'm getting at.
I do like I called it the B-side of Eric Young's theme song because it's a nice down-tempo. Like, ew, this is creepy. But like you said, a vibe creepy. But the bloody shirts from Macklin coming, that's a biohazard. I'm calling OSHA. That's disgusting. All right? Wash those shirts. Throw it in the trash. That was, to me, that told me everything I needed to know about them. Eric Young wanting to fight that. I don't know what that fan was doing. This was a work or not. But Eric Young, it looked like that fan was in his veins. And if it was a word, you worked me, brother. I like that kind of stuff, though, because I don't think the Northern Armory looks quote-unquote silly here. They're clearly in a rebuilding phase. Macklin being out, that was their main source of ire. While Macklin recovers, comes back to work, or whatever the case may be, now you have them trying to do what they got to do. Losing to the Aztec Warriors, someone who even I at first was like, okay, Northern Armory's going to win. It's good to have them be on the back pedal so they get more vicious. Eventually, they'll start getting wins. And that's when Macklin comes back and says, you guys, knock that off. I hate you. I got a partner too. I don't know who, but I hate you guys.
It's going to be good. It's going to be a good come up for both teams. I'm looking forward to where they go. Again, Sinner and Saint are extremely talented. I know that they don't call them Sinner and Saint in TNA, but just for the sake of getting the tag team versus when it's Eric Young, it's good. EY getting too distracted was perfect. And I don't think that it's going to play into Sinner and Saint breaking up with EY. I think that EY needs to be there. Their leader and their person, mm-hmm. their mouthpiece for a while. Sinner and Saint can cut promos. We see if you go on the indies, like you see them do it. But I think right now in TNA, Eric is the perfect person to do it. He's a ghost. He's an apparition. So he can get away with this. I just want to see Sinner and Saint start building their ranks and possibly find themselves in a serious tag division in TNA.
Yeah, I'll take it one step further. I've noticed a lot of similarities with trios tonight. Just go with me. Tangent brain here. Sinner and Saint are the, you see the movie, the Hercules movie, the Disney movie? Eric Young. Eric Young is Hades and Sinner and Saint are Plain and what's the other guy? I don't want to say Pain and Pleasure because that's not right.
Pain and Pleasure? What are you talking about?
The little imps from Hercules, the blue and the little brown one that
No, so I saw that. That was
Don't worry about it. I got another one for our first class when we get to it.
Oh no! Get away from this. Get,
Joel's like, get away from me.
Stop it. Let's just move on, shall we? Edward Edwards defeats Jake Painter. Cody Diener's on commentary. Did you see earlier this week that they released your favorite shirt? They released an Alicia Edwards shirt with your favorite slogan on it.
Do you? Let me move on. Yep. Do you want to know something? All right. That's going to be my third wrestling shirt because I do have Will Hobbs' Big Black and Jack that I may not wear outside because I'm ashamed.
No, you should absolutely have this.
I'm going to get that shirt.
You have to get it. I got to find this stupid shirt for you to see because... I saw it and I immediately said, oh my goodness, you there it is. I gotta, hold on, give me a second.
Send me the link.
It's perfect. I'm not sending you nothing. I am putting it on the screen.
I am adding this.
This is an overlay that we're doing live on the air right now. We're gonna add this. Yeah. If you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. There it is, with her face on it and everything.
I don't care. I'm still getting it. That's sports entertainment, baby.
You know what it looks like? It looks like the Road Dogg DX shirt. <It's>
like, it gave me the Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
It looks like
that's what it gives me.
It looks like, oh, you didn't know?
Yeah, or the John Cena, Hustle, Respect, the very early ones, the Thug Life ones.
That is something else. I love it. Anyway, yeah, Diener's on commentary. Edward Edwards beats the shit out of Jake Painter, who gets a few hope spots in, but the Boston Knee Party takes down Painter, and Diener stares down. Sorry, Diener gets stared down by Edward Edwards as he gets that pin. Again, my question is, what does Edward Edwards get out of this? And after the match, Cody very timidly, with the commentary with the headset on, says he's going to beat Edwards because he needs to and not because he wants to. Again, to whom is this in service of? I said it last week. Diener's in home. There is a story there. What does Eddie Edwards get out of this?
Man, if there's anything I do know about Eddie Edwards, which isn't much, he does like to beat up people. So this, to him, is a free night at work. I get to beat up Cody Diener. I get to beat up Cody. I get to show people why I'm a good wrestler. I do it every week. But now I get to beat up Cody Diener again. I don't know. I'm sports at a loss. I don't know.
It's very confusing. I don't know what it is either. I just know that, again, Cody Diener is from the Ontario region. He's not far from home when he's in Brampton. There will be his family presumably in the audience and his friends as well. And it's not like they're selling this show on the back of Diener. It's a match on the card, and it's a potential feel good moment for Diener. He could get a roll up victory and that's it. Or it could be his swan song, and he decides that this is it for him and he's done wrestling. And again, he works backstage in TNA. There's no harm, no foul of him calling it a day. I'm just like, again, I'm wondering, I got one side of the story. I wish I knew, and I wish they had put some stake on why Eddie Edwards is doing this match. That if he puts him down, maybe he gets a shot at the international championship, because we got that now. And you got Macklin, you know, he's got Cardona on, not at Under Siege, but at the tapings the next night, which will air on Thursday, the first episode. So they're doing that. I wish that they had just given Edwards like, you do this and we'll pass you to the front of the line, because you beat a guy who's been around for a long time and has a storied history with TNA. I don't know. There's just a lack of Eddie Edwards' part in this.
At first I was going to say, well, you just can't put random stipulations on things. Why would he get a title shot? But then I remembered that Spitfire randomly decided that they're going to break up again if they lose. So you do what you want. Yeah, wrestling's easy. Do what you want.
We're going to get to that. Volov sent a super chat saying, so is Scott D'Amore getting a TSN deal for Maple Leaf Pro? Starting to sound like he's really gearing to for a deal to sign people for a televised promotion. So Jeremy Lambert and I talked about this on In the Weeds. Right now, the two major television companies in Canada that show sports are TSN, which is owned by Bell, which is a major telecommunications conglomerate. And did I say TSN first? Yes.
Yes.
TSN, they show AEW programming primarily. They are happy with that. Their bread and butter comes from hockey, CFL, all the other stuff. On the other side, Rogers, which is Sportsnet, they have the TNA deal. They just got rid of WWE. They lost them to Netflix. I don't know. First of all, I don't know if Maple Leaf Pro is destined to become a weekly. I personally see it as PWG North. I think it's just going to be a super indie that runs every month, maybe once every 2 months, builds the independent talent that are around with television talent, air it on Triller, have a good production, blah blah blah. That's where I see it. I don't know what Scott is after, but I also know Scott's not hard up for money. He's not looking to make a shit ton of money out of this, because he's doing fine. I'm sure he would like for this to at least break even, or at least make some off of it. But yeah, that's kind of where I'm at. I don't expect a TV deal quickly. but I also don't really know what Scott's plan is.
I will say, just for you, the viewer listening at home, before we went live, I had a lot of feelings. So I support whatever Scott D'Amore does, because I really enjoyed his booking when he was booking for TNA. So whether I think it has the snuff, if what you did for TNA, you're doing again, I would watch it every week, except I live in the United States of Grande Americano. So, you know, I got to use that FIFO VPN
Maple Leaf Pro is airing on Triller. They're doing shows every other month. And I think that where they're at right now is really solid. I think they can make more money, but if they're going to run, like I mentioned, PWG North, PWG was a super indie that had all the best talent in the world coming to work for them. And they would get when it started, they would pack a 300 seater, you know, they would pack the JCC. And then it was suddenly the vet halls in Reseda, California. And then they went to the Globe Theater, and that's a whole thing. I don't know, again, what Scott's mission is with Maple Leaf Pro. One idea that Jeremy and I had was actually the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, which is government funded and very popular here. Because there is a cash infusion for CBC, and because Maple Leaf Pro wants to run as of right now as a monthly or bi-monthly program, as an event, maybe there is room for CBC to air Maple Leaf Pro on a Saturday night. But I don't know what the wrestling climate is in Canada for something like this. It's not like TNA does massive numbers when they're on this channel. When they're on Sportsnet, and the Netflix numbers are pretty much global at this point. So I don't know the breakout for Canada. It's fine. But I just think that there's potential for PWG, or sorry, for not PWG, for Maple Leaf Pro, but I don't think they need to be a weekly televised product to be successful.
I don't know much, so I can't give you an educated sports entertainment opinion, but if it's working right now, if there's the potential for it to be a weekly format, I'm of the mind more wrestling equals more good, because more wrestlers get more paid. So more good, more sports entertainment for me. So if it makes sense, it makes sense. But if it don't make dollars, then it don't make sense. So I have faith in Monsieur D'Amore, your father. I have faith.
We'll see where it goes. They're doing some pretty good stuff already, and they're clearly working with people that they want to, and they're getting talent from all across other contracted companies. So there's no reason why they can't get it. Yeah. People saying we need to add a date of the week to keep up with wrestling. That's why I like what they're doing with Maple Leaf. They'll need to tell stories show to show, but it doesn't need to be a weekly. You can do a countdown type special, do a 30-minute. This is why you should care about these matches. NWA did it when they relaunched in 2018, 2019. They did it with the Tim Storm versus Nick Aldis for the 10 pounds of gold match. That was a big thing that they built. And it did really good numbers, and it got people excited for the relaunch of the NWA. We now know what the NWA has become. That's a totally different conversation. But at the time, people were excited. And you can do something like that with the Maple Leaf Pro. And I think there's room for some of that type of storytelling, especially in Canadian wrestling, where our cities are far apart, man. It is going Toronto to Montreal. That is a 6-hour drive. You got to fly that if you want to be there in a good time. You can drive it now because the weather's nice, but it's not easy, man. Toronto, Ottawa is a 4.5-5-hour drive. The big cities are few and far between. That's why we're going to Brampton tomorrow night.
Come on, Brampton. I don't know anything about it, but come on, Brampton.
No, let's not.
Okay. No Brampton. No
you. AJ Francis and Casey Navarro defeat Sami Callihan and Mike Santana. O'Shea Jackson Jr. is on commentary. And my only question is, why couldn't we get John Goblikon on commentary for this particular show?
John Goblikon is going to see you in your sleep, pal.
I'm so pissed. When we interviewed Macklin last week on In the Weeds, I meant to ask him, and I think I said this last week, meant to ask him, did you meet John Goblikon? I totally whiffed on it. I forgot. So, where was John Goblikon tonight? God damn it.
Bit, bit, bit. Have you seen this goblin?
Would have been okay. Perfect.
Are you ready for the other analogy?
Yes.
Do you remember The Princess Bride?
Barely.
All right. So AJ Francis and Casey Navarro are the Dread Pirate Roberts and Inigo Montoya. Because you can't tell me Casey Navarro's faces aren't commentary. Because when Mike Santana was pulling up behind him, the way he was giving you the please don't let this, I know that I feel his breath on my neck. I was screaming. It was definitely given. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Please don't kill me too. And I would say, because O'Shea said this on commentary, and I'm like, that is AJ Francis to a T. He's Mr. Bright Idea, because you always got a plan. You always got a scheme. And I would say you're that guy who said inconceivable, but you are tall like the Dread Pirate Roberts, and there's no way. There's no way. There's no way. I have to give AJ Francis a shout out the way he caught Casey Navarro almost down by the powerbomb where Casey's head could have hit anything. And he caught him up and was like, I got you. Pillow hands, the softest hands in the business. This match, I hate to say it, but First Class gets on my nerves. Compliment. Because they're exactly what they need to be. Under your skin, weaseling their way into TV time, and which I think is the most important. Because whether you dislike them or not, I'm going to be on TV every other week. And if not every other week, every week. And AJ Francis is smart. I hate that he's so smart. Compliment. You know, he's the worst, but he's on TV every week. And then you won over Sami Callihan and Mike Santana, which for the most part is a big deal because these are guys at the top of the card. Francis had said this before, Joe Hendry wasn't trending until me, which is a lie, but I can see where you're coming from. You know what I mean? And now you're beating Mike Santana. I don't care that you didn't get the pin, but you lost to me and Casey Navarro. So technically we're better than you. This guy's the worst. Compliment. He's the worst. Compliment.
AJ runs this into the ground, and I think he's right. Yeah, every dance partner needs their partner, and that was Joe Hendry's best dance partner when he started, was AJ Francis. So AJ continues to take some sort of credit for Joe Hendry's rise. And you know what? He's got a point, and I'll let him have it.
This
was a solid match. Santana's running all over the place. Santana feeds Callihan for a Cactus Driver 97, but Francis pulls out Santana and distracts everyone. You got Casey Navarro hitting the 305, which is basically like an over the top rope 619. And then he hits the blessing in disguise. That's his finish, gets the pin on Sami Callihan. And of course you've got Francis versus Santana tomorrow night at Under Siege, which is a match that I'm personally looking forward to because not only do I like those guys, but I like watching them wrestle too. So a different matchup for these two. I'd like to see it happen.
Do you think they'll add more people to First Class?
I know if it were up to AJ, the answer would be yes. But I don't know. I like where it's at right now. I think they're a good tag team, and I don't think they need to be a full stable to get their point across. I like the idea that it's big guy, little guy. The little guy is extremely charismatic. Mm-hmm. There's no cracks in what they do. AJ bullies them just enough to keep them in line, but he doesn't bully them enough to make it look like they need to break up and have a feud. No one's breaking out as the next babyface world champion caliber person. They work as a two-person team.
Hey, baseball fans, it's time to swing big on your bets this season. Step up to the plate with an odds boost token from BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. No opt-in is required. Just log into your BetMGM account to receive your odds boost token. Then, place a bet on any MLB game and activate your token. If your boosted bet hits, you'll score a bigger payout, no matter the showdown. BetMGM is your betting home for baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotion offer not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary and expire in 1 to 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand. through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So okay. I'd keep him as two for now, but I don't know. You seem to look like you want to add somebody.
I don't have like any particular feelings. I'm just thinking about faction warfare. And I look at Casey Navarro. I look at AJ Francis, and then I look at the system. Since you're going to be on my screen every week anyway, AJ Francis versus Moose, I would be sports entertained looking at that match. I don't know what's going to transpire, but I'd be sports entertained. Casey Navarro running around the ring against JDC and his long self, I'd be sports entertained. But who else? You know what I mean? I don't know who else would fit in that first class thing, because no one's going to want to work with first class because you got screwed over a lot of people, pal. So...
There might be a woman that you can add, because it just adds to a dynamic that might be interesting, but I don't know who.
I would say Tasha Steelz, but she would fit, but not right now.
What if they went after Indy Hartwell?
Oh, Noir. I thought that's my only answer.
The reality is she's such a dork that it would just, like, in real life, I'm not saying that she's, you know, Not the bad kind of dork.
I know what you mean. Like, in comparison to that swag, she's like, yes. Is this swag? And like, Indy, please. It can work. It could be an odd couple where it's like, Indy, bam. And she's like, you mean this? Like, no, Indy, please.
Like, maybe, I don't know. Maybe she teaches her. I don't know. Or like Harley Hudson, but I don't know. Because again, they've got Mila Grace. They just brought in some new talent. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's maybe someone else that they have. Maserati, who was on the show tonight, she's not signed, but again, like, I don't know what.
Cypress, I was really impressed with her.
Cypress is another one, yeah.
She could fit with first class, absolutely. I could see her, but I was sports entertained by her, even though she got squished, but yeah. I was sports entertained.
But also, I also don't want to be the guy who's like, oh, you got to find, you know, the black talent and put them with, you know, the two black dudes. I don't know if Casey is. Anyway, it's not even important. Doesn't matter.
If it fits, it fits. That's what we're looking for, ladies and gentlemen.
That's exactly it. And like, I don't want anyone to misunderstand me and what I think would be working for this group. AJ has his ideas about what works for his particular presentation. And someone had mentioned it, like, I thought Rich Swann was still first class. Rich Swann doesn't work for TNA anymore. His contract expired and he's moved on. So he's not part of this. So like I said, if you add a knockout, I think that would kind of add to the presentation. I just don't know who works. I'll tell you who doesn't work, and that's Victoria Crawford. She's cornering Robert Stone.
Brother.
Sorry, she had to catch the stray. Ariana Grace is cornering her daddy, Santino, but you don't know that. And they have a debate. Gia Miller is presiding. But of course, Santino, who is a joke, keeps calling her Your Honor. And she's like, I'm not a judge. But of course, he's got to keep making the joke because Santino is a joke, which Robert Stone points out, you're a joke and you're inept. And I keep writing in my notes, because Santino is inept, this keeps happening. Stone wants to make TNA a better place. And I'm saying, again, who is his boss? It's starting to sound like it's WWE or TKO, but it's not like The Rock's going to show up on TNA to do his thing. He's gonna bring the mana to TNA. That shit ain't happening. He's going to show up in New York at Slammiversary. If you make it happen, TNA, I will eat my hat.
I'll go. That's where I live.
You won't know when it happens, but it'll happen. They should probably, to sell more tickets, say it's going to happen. Regardless, Stone wants to make TNA a better place, whatever that means. And like I said, Santino keeps calling Gia Your Honor because he's inept. He is a joke. But the one thing, one thing that Santino says, because he always finds a way to make it make sense, says he came from the people, which is true. He was introduced to WWE in Italy as a plant in the crowd and won the Intercontinental Championship on his first night in, pretending to be just a dude in the crowd. He said, I came from the people. He is the people. He knows what they want. And it makes sense, but it's still infuriating to watch Santino be a joke and an inept person while Robert Stone is freaking out and, you know, being just as much of a joke. It's a very silly and stupid story that they've got, but let's completely go past all this, because out comes Tessa to take everyone out. Masha comes out, and then Ariana and Masha Slamovich put Tessa Blanchard not through a table, but certainly onto a table. Not once, but twice.
Some say they're still trying to put her to that table, through that table right now.
They have taken the stone of Sisyphus and tried to put it through the table.
That table was imported from New Japan.
That table has so much. It's a damn superhero, that table. It did a lot of work tonight and it, or that night. And I think we're all the better for having seen it. It was the snowflake. The DVD attempt just made it so much funnier. And the fact that they kept it in the cut made it even better. That shit ain't breaking.
Somebody said that table didn't give a damn. Jim Ross. I got another Jim Ross quote. That table was tougher than a $2 steak.
Yep. Oh, that table wasn't going to put over Tessa. Good.
Listen, I'm going to tell y'all what I liked about this, because I was not sports entertained. I liked Robert Stone's suit. That scoop neck V was very nice, very tailored. I did like the table no-selling. That was the best part of the segment to me. That being said, this was a nothing burger. I'm so sorry. This made no sense. I don't know why we did this. Oh, Gia Miller also saying, I'm not a judge. Took me out. Gia Miller she's a good straight man, and I live. I don't know why we're doing this. I don't like this. I don't want to see Ariana Grace versus Tessa Blanchard, because I don't want to see Tessa Blanchard. I don't want to see her. I don't want to see Tessa Blanchard. I don't know. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see Santino versus Robert Stone. I don't want to see this. What are we doing here? Fighting for the heart and soul of TNA? Back to what Joel said. Who is your boss, Robert Stone? You don't even go here. You used to go here, Rob E, but now you are Missy Stone. You don't even go here. Who gave you permission? So is TNA just the redheaded stepchild, the WWE NXT? I'm sports confused. There's a better way to tell whatever story you're trying to tell. But right now, put that story back on the book, back on the shelf, burn the library, close it. I never want to see it again.
And it's probably going to pick up after Sunday. Stone stole Santino's badge because this whole story is a big joke.
I'd rather take Santino's joke than whatever you got going on, Mr. Stone, respectfully. You don't even go here. You don't even go here. I can understand if you were a kid who was mad at you. You don't even go here. You don't even go here. You don't even go here. Go bully your brand. How about that?
Backstage, Matt Cardona mentions that Steve Macklin isn't cleared, so the international championship match is not happening at Under Siege. Instead, it's going to happen on next week's show. They're going to tape that Saturday night. To which I ask, is Macklin going to be even in Brampton? Got to say, it's in Brampton. It's not in Toronto. It's in Brampton. And he just posted on Twitter a photo of himself with a drink, because that's just what you do, and said he's on his way. So he says he's going to Brampton. Not Toronto, to Brampton, and that he will be there.
Hide your cup from Eric Young, young man. See you Saturday. See you Friday. See you. Hide your cup.
Hide your cup. But it's fine. He confirmed in our interview that Eric Young is a ghost, so it's all good. I am vindicated. Been vindicated. It's fine. I'm very excited about this. Spitfire defeats Viperous and Maserati. We mentioned earlier that those two looked really good. It was a very strange match, only because I expected more of a squash, because once again, Spitfire have a tag title match tomorrow night. I don't know when they decided to do this match, I should say. the announcement of the Under Siege match, because how can I put this slightly? Okay. They showed us the digital exclusive. If Spitfire loses at Under Siege, they disband. Except this time, they are so incredibly heavy-handed about it. You know, oh, we did this once last time, and then see how that did. Yeah, but it motivated us. We can do it again. And it's like, oh, no, it's wrestling. And you're not going to do it again. It's over. And also, maybe it's time to start building Jody Threat's stock as a single star. She does have a match at this weird Niagara Falls show they're doing on Sunday. Don't ask me about Border Brawl because I have zero interest in it. But Jody's facing Tessa, so they're doing that. Also, the tag match tomorrow night is a match by Elegance, which is a plunder match. I found out about that on Tuesday because George Iceman did an interview for a local creator, and he announced the match as Match by Elegance. And I'm like, no one's going to know about this shit. So I just put it out there, and it's like, how do you know? I'm like, nah, you'll find out Thursday. So that's the thing. And the Match by Elegance is, like I said, a big plunder match. There are more friends in the Elegance side than they're on the Spitfire side. It's just done. Regardless, this particular match, the presser drop gets the win, and then the Elegance try to attack. Spitfire knocks them out. They clink the belts one last time because they're not going to win tomorrow night. Your thoughts on everything?
I liked all four of these women. I like Jody Threat and Dani Luna together and separately. I don't think we should break them up, because if you don't have Spitfire, who do you have? I rest my case, Your Honor. So I don't think we should break them up. I think it's okay to have more than two tag teams in your women's tag team division, considering you're like kind of the only place that has an active, really tag team women's division. What are we doing here? That being said, I would like to see more of Maserati and Viperess. Why not? I think that Viperess worked really stiff, like hella stiff. I don't even know where this girl came from, but she was... Dani Luna and Jody Threat are two stiff workers in their own right, and she was keeping up with them, with no disrespect to Maserati, because she was holding her own, but Viperess was stepping on these girls. So why can't we keep them as a tag team? Why can't we bring more of these women in? Considering, again, your Knockouts tag team division is the Elegance brand, Spitfire, and Rosemary Zaya, when they eventually turn on Laying
Lee and Zaya Brookside were a tag team. Now Zaya is going to move on to Rosemary, I assume. Harley Hudson and Mila Grace, I should say, are probably going to be a tag team. Even though they just brought them in, they did a singles match. Now they did a draw with them, and then they tagged them up. I'm pretty sure that Mila and Harley are going to be the next thrown together tag team.
Jessica, and you wouldn't know. I miss you so much.
You wouldn't have known, but it looks like they're going to break up Spitfire.
Oh, it definitely is definitely giving that. Like you said, with the digital exclusive of like, because Jody Threat was like, I don't want to do this again. And Danny's like, it's the only way, but there's other ways, pal. But Jessica Havoc, you are so missed. I miss Decay. I even miss Crazy Steve, man. I miss Decay.
I hear you. What I don't miss, and I never want to hear this again, Matt Raywalt doing Booker T's version of Trick's entrance.
Oh, my God.
That was hilarious and awful all at the same time. Good on you, Matt Raywalt. You made it exponentially worse, which is what you should do. Thank you. I hope Booker saw it.
I love Raywalt, but Jesus Christ.
That was an excellent choice. Good for him. Loved it.
Choices.
The main event tonight, Elijah and Joe Henry defeat Brian Myers and Moose. JDC's there. Trick is on commentary. They mentioned the torn rotator cuff again for Joe Henry, something that they have not done one flipping time on NXT, where the world title match will be happening, which is just, again, proving that I've talked about this at length, ad nauseum, over on In the Weeds, on how this has been a very strangely poorly built show. It doesn't matter. Moose Myers chopped the post, which is hilarious. Daniel Spencer is not the referee, so why is Frank Gastineau slipping so much? Because they keep chanting referee sucks and keeps missing stuff. Joe Henry does the Mimosa Joe sidestep on Moose, which I liked. They brought that up on commentary. Elijah hits the Highwayman's farewell on Myers for the win. Post-match, this is hilarious. Kazarian comes in and attacks Henry. Elijah hits Kazarian with the guitar, and then Williams doesn't help because he's on commentary being like, nah, dog, I don't care about you, which is hilarious. Oh, Yeah, he's injured in TNA, but not in NXT. That's really
This is not canon, baby. Three different letters. NXT, TNA. Those are not the same letters.
It makes zero sense. And they're going to do a tag match tomorrow. And then they're going to do the title match on Sunday. And again, this is what we talked about last week. They then have to go into tapings tomorrow. And like, not, I don't think either man's going to be on the tapings for 2 weeks. I think it'll just be backstage segments for 2 weeks. And that's probably, you know what, that's probably why Macklin and Cardona are main eventing the Thursday show, because they're probably going to put the international championship and then maybe a knockouts championship match, something those 2 weeks in between the shows. Cause again, there's Against All Odds is coming up at the beginning of June too. So it's under siege, one night of tapings to cover 2 weeks, and then it's Against All Odds. And then they start their build to Slammiversary. I can see a world where Trick wins the title on Sunday at Battleground and carries it all the way to Slammiversary, and they do a match with Santana, and then that's maybe how we get to Santana Ali for the title, and Santana walks in as champion. That would be Bound for Glory.
You think Trick Williams is going to beat Joe Hendry?
I have gone back and forth on this, and I have spoken to so many people in and out of wrestling who go back and forth on this as well. There's reason to do it. There's also reason to then turn around and do Trick versus Joe 2 at Slammiversary. But what sells tickets? What's going to get people invested? What's going to sell those tickets to the show? I still think they've got a long road ahead to get people invested to go to that show, to get to Slammiversary. But the world title match probably won't be the biggest match on the card. The Hardys match is going to be huge. I assume there will be other WWE integration, or at least TNA, or NXT, I should say. Trick is not, and this is not disrespecting Trick. Like, he is very good at what he does, but he's not, I don't know if he's that proven draw that everyone is going to see. I think if you do a Masha Slamovich, I'm just throwing names out. If we do Masha, let's say Masha's still the champion. Masha versus Stephanie Vecchere. That will get people talking from the NXT standpoint, because their women's division is doing extremely well. So I don't know what they're trying to do, but I still stick and I still ride with the idea that Santana winning in New York is the play. Whether he does it from Trick, and Trick has to then play a hardline heel in TNA and on NXT, he's got to really hit it hard, or Joe's got to drop that title between now and Slammiversary, or before Slammiversary, if Santana is going to win, because a babyface tag or a championship match also doesn't look very good.
All right. I'm picking up what you're putting down, but I don't think Trick takes it off of Joe. I'll be honest with you. At this point, Santana takes it off of Joe. I think that's the best way to respect everyone involved, unless Ali somehow circumvents that and Ali takes it off of Joe on some sucker stuff, and then Santana takes it off of Ali. I think Trick and Kazarian win the tag match against Joe and Elijah. Yeah, I think they win that match, and then the next match on NXT, Joe Hendry wins against Trick Williams. That's how I see it. At this point, I was thinking, like with you, how do we get the title off of Joe? But I think to preserve everyone in this situation, TNA is known for doing things late in the game or when they're booked into a corner. So either you have Santana take it off of Joe, or you wait till too long and Joe's about to leave with the title and you do some Scooby-Doo noises. Just like you did with Joe before, when you should have put the title on Joe, but you put it on Nick Nemeth because he got there, whatever it is, and Scooby-Doo noises, and then Nick Nemeth was champion. So that's just my two cents on it. Also, Trick Williams asking for Joe Hendry to be drug tested because he's picking up that man. Insane. Insane. Trick Williams is a menace, and I don't know if he should be on commentary. He's a menace to society, bro.
Hannafin then being like, we got to drug test you. Look at those abs. And then
the way I see it, you only say that because y'all were in the Sife together and you're snitching.
And then every response from Trick is just like, let's talk about it. And I'm like, I get it. You have a tagline.
But you don't say anything after you say, let's talk about it. You say, let's talk about it and shut up. Trick, Mr. Williams.
the point of all this is I've also had people tell me that they think Hendry's going to keep it all the way to whenever the end is. It could be Bound for Glory. And that's the Jordan Grace situation. Remember last year, Bound for Glory, we made Kate some money because we sat there with her on the crossover and she was going like talking about the betting odds. And at the time, Jordan Grace was favored to win. And I laughed at it. And I was like, everyone knows Jordan's leaving and Masha's up next. Like, you don't have to be, you don't have to be clairvoyant to get it. We could be in a situation like that. That's why I'm saying with Joe, it's just time. But from a business standpoint, Joe Hendry and the Hardys are getting a lot of asses in seats. I will never take that away. And we talk about it on this show, feels like weekly at this point. Those three people, those three guys are doing a lot. That being said, Joe Hendry in a special challenge match at Slammiversary, that one's still a big challenge. Again, something where it's serious. This is the first match from Joe Hendry's title reign that has felt serious, this trick match. And there's certainly reasons for that. Don't have to get into, but there are certainly reasons as to why it feels like Joe's putting a little bit extra on this one than he has other defenses. So I'm curious as to how much longer TNA wants to put their eggs in the Joe Hendry basket, knowing almost certainly where Joe will be by 2026.
I think there is a way where you can respect Joe. Well, let me backtrack here. I'm a Joe Hendry stan, so I'm going to be biased here. I feel TNA would not be in this position if you put the belt on Joe when he was hot at the very beginning. If you would have done it then, now that it's kind of like, okay, he's still a hot staple. You have someone like Santana who you've been building up, who I think Santana has been built up fantastically. This is the kind of feud Joe Hendry should have. This Santana should have been his third serious feud or his fourth serious feud instead of Trick Williams being his first one. I don't put that blame on Hendry. I put that blame on the booking. I put that blame on your only monster heel in TNA right now technically is Moose. Maybe Eric Young because he's a ghost. But even then, is Eric Young someone I'm like, okay, you're really going to take it off of Joe Hendry? Moose, I could see doing it because Moose is a cheater. Josh Alexander, I could have seen doing that because Josh Alexander, real graps. You know what I mean? But at this point, you might as well leave it on Joe Hendry. Leave it on Joe Hendry, have him pass the torch to Mike Santana. This way, the both of them can get the most money out of it because Santana is definitely next up. Hopefully, you pass some of that Riz because to me, Santana has it. Yeah, he's not going to be playing the guitar, singing jokes about how you suck.
He doesn't need it.
Santana can give you all of that. He could be funny. He could be straight edge. He could be, I'm going to whip your ass. Santana has it. So at this point, you got to put on a really good program between Santana and Joe Hendry. You could even add Ali to the mix if you want to say they'll do it one time and then he gets screwed over because Ali is still a bitter Betty. And you can run it back and all your big players are involved in your main event. So no one gets screwed over to an extent. So when Joe loses, he can say, well, I was never pinned. Ali was pinned. However you want to do that. You know what I mean? This way, everyone's a winner. That's just my two cents on it.
Someone asking, is TNA making these decisions or is WWE? It's TNA for the TNA stuff. Their team is doing it. There is collaboration with WWE in certain regards, but it's not like WWE is saying like, that's not going to work for me, brother. They are collaborative with a lot of this. It just so happens that their champion is someone that is most likely going to be moving over to WWE when his contract ends with TNA. And he is very much looking forward to that opportunity. Someone also asked, someone had mentioned that Battleground, it could be the TNA World Championship in the main event. No, not the knockouts. Sorry. We talk about TNA on the show. The NXT Women's title is the main event. The Vekker and Grace match is the main event on that show. If they change it, I'll be surprised. Or they're going to plan some big schmoss finish where Trick gets the belt, raises it high. So that's kind of where I'm at there. So that's TNA, and tomorrow night is the special. Do we want to run down the card, or is it not really that important because we've done an hour?
I think we can give it 10 minutes. We can just bang, bang, bang. We can do it, Joel, because I don't think we're doing a show tomorrow.
No, we're not. I'll be at the show.
At least I'm going to watch RuPaul's Drag Race tomorrow. I'll be watching wrestling for another color.
Good on you. That's smart. Someone asking over and over, where do I think Ace Austin goes? I don't know. It's up to him. I think he'd be great in New Japan for a run. He's young enough. He's got time.
I won't lie, too. I think him in an NXT presentation, I feel this way about all the Rascals. In an NXT presentation, I think in a WWE presentation, but I also agree with New Japan. Get your fun out, because once you go to WWE, like, get your fun out now. Get your jokes off.
he's got time. WWE is wrestling, televised wrestling especially, is in a place where the mid-card is not, it's not nearly as important to your development anymore. You need to almost come in as a main eventer and fight for the top spot, because unless you're going for the Intercontinental Championship or one of those other titles, it doesn't matter. And Ace is at the beginning of his ascent into the mid card. I think a place like New Japan would be a great spot for him to start honing those skills. You don't get the same televised wrestling experience, but you get a lot of just the crowd work and working in Japan and learning from a lot of vets who have a lot of experience. So maybe that's where he wants to go. But again, it's not up to me. It's up to Ace Austin.
I'm supporting him no matter where he goes. You got my vote, pal.
Of course, he deserves the world. He's a great wrestler. He's a great human. And the one person that I think about out of all this is actually Chris Bay. And I'm sure that weighs heavily on Ace's decision. And I don't know what that relationship looks like after Chris is ready to come back. If Chris ever is ready to come back, because that's that was a tag team that became a lot, brothers and not. Yeah, I'll leave it at that. They clearly have a bond, and I don't know what they expect from each other as Chris goes through his recovery period. Under Siege is tomorrow night. Countdown, Rosemary versus Zaya Brookside. Who you got?
Rosemary, because I think Zaya's going to turn. I think Zaya's turning evil.
Yeah. I could see Zaya getting the win and then leaving with Rosemary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Edward Edwards and Cody Deaner.
Eddie Edwards. I'm sorry, Mr. Deaner. I loved you with Cousin Jake. I'm sorry.
I hope this is a match where Eddie, I don't want to say carries Deaner, because I don't think Deaner needs carrying. I think this should be one of those Eddie Edwards standout matches where you didn't know what you got until you saw Eddie Edwards work.
Yeah.
And then have Deaner, get the big applause and the thank you, and you deserve it and all that, and get out of here. That would be fine. The Elegance is take on Spitfire in a match by Elegance. And if Spitfire lose, they disband. So Spitfire loses, Ash and Heather retain. That's where I'm at.
TNA do the right thing, put it on Spitfire, but I know that's not happening, so I'm going to say the Elegance is, and we're going to have more women in the Knockouts division and no other tag teams.
You know, they usually like to do one title change per show.
This might be it.
This is the only one that I'm... this is really the only one. We'll get there in a minute. Order 4, take on the Rascals, Indy Hartwell, and a mystery opponent. I don't know who this mystery opponent could be. It's going to be someone that is just glaring us in the face.
Kenny King. I don't know.
Yeah, Kenny King would be great.
I'm going to go ahead and say Ali's been losing. It's time for Order 4. Well, not losing because he won tonight, but I think he's been in the loser bracket. So I think the group match, they lose. I'm going to go with the mystery opponent team.
How's Jake something doing? Is he back yet?
I thought he left TNA.
Jake something? I'm thinking of Hammerstone.
Oh, those are very large, similar men. They don't look alike, but body type, they're very similar, large.
He's still, we'll see. I don't think he's back yet, but regardless, I just kind of thought about Jake Hammerstone, or Jake something for a second.
Jake Hammerstone. Morphin time.
Oh, May 17th, he sent out a tweet that says it's time with a photo of himself. Oh, he made his return. Okay, Jake's working again. All right, I'm locking it in. Jake something's coming back tomorrow night. There you go. And that'll start at something. Mike Santana versus AJ Francis. Santana should get this win.
Easy. I'm so sorry, AJ Francis. I support you, but not that much.
Tessa Blanchard beats Ariana Grace. The Nemeths take on Matt Hardy and Leon Slater. This is the match where I'm like, it could happen. Matt Hardy did do a sit down where he basically said, you know, he gassed up Leon and said, I've done it before. I can do it again. Was it too much, or could it be that they do the tag swap again? A big, big surprise.
Because this one I pondered on, I'm like, I wonder if the Nemeths lose to the Hardys and they ping pong it a bit. And they say, you know what? At Slammiversary in New York, that's it no matter what. I'm like, also, does Leon lose here because he's not in sync with Matt Hardy? And the Nemeths try to like weasel their way. He's like, well, you guys lost because Matt doesn't trust you. Whatever. I don't know. Part of me wants to believe that the Nemeths retain and Hardy says, well, I wasn't with my partner, so that's not really my fault. I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I don't know.
It's a big toss up. Jeff Hardy getting a little, I don't know. Jeff Hardy doesn't seem like the type who would be the jealous brother.
But the Nemeths will try to get I could see them trying to weasel their way in. They already don't like Ryan and Nick. But I could see them trying. Well, I don't know. Never mind, actually. Because Leon Slater doesn't like them either.
I honestly, if this show goes and nobody drops a title, Joe Hendry's losing on Sunday. That's the big title change for TNA.
I don't want that, man. Not to Trick Williams. No disrespect to Trick Williams, but I feel like if you're going to do all of that, like, we could have did it with someone in TNA. And if you're going to do an NXT TNA title, not your world title, but then again, I'm asking a lot from TNA. Self-respect?
I could see, okay, so they're going to do a ladder match. The Nemeths introduced it, you know, as like the big teaser, like come and face us at Under Siege in a tag team title ladder match. They're going to do it. I wonder if maybe they drop the titles and then they challenge it against all odds for those tag titles in a ladder match. And Jeff isn't part of the match. He's just there as, you know, the cheering section. Or they
Jeff
do it anyway.
Is a part of the match and they lose again. And then I don't know. This is,
I don't think Leon's going to be like, oh no, I got to give up my title. It's going to be, no, we're going to build Leon Slater out of this. But again, if it's quick, you can piggyback the titles back or hot potato the titles. If it works, if it's in service of Leon Slater, who hopefully by Slammiversary beats Moose for the X Division Championship, then I can see it working.
Okay.
You can have the Nemeths drop to these two and then the Nemeths win them back at against all odds and then have the Hardys. And then at the Hardys by Slammiversary in a Nemeths Hardys multi-person match with NXT as well. Maybe do another plunder match.
I don't hate that. Even if Leon Slater, like they do a tornado tag with the Hardys, and by the time Slammiversary comes around or against all odds, Matt and Jeff are like, listen, you got to leave the Hardy compound nest. Go beat up Moose. You're ready now.
You got to drop it at Slammiversary. It's just got to happen.
Yeah.
Moose has to lose that X Division Championship at Slammiversary.
At some point, he's got to get. I'm beginning to get tired of the system. Sometimes I like whatever it is. But at this point, Moose may be an X Division champion. It's getting on my nerves. Derogatory.
Masha Slamovich takes on Victoria Crawford for the Knockouts Championship. Masha retains.
Why are we doing this mess?
So that Tessa can come out afterwards and make the challenge for. Against all odds.
All right. I did.
Or they'll do another tag match. It'll be Ariana and Masha versus Victoria and Tessa at the next paper, the next against all odds. And then at the next pay-per-view, they do Masha and Tessa again.
The table wins. Next question.
Certainly did tonight. Main event, Trick Williams and Frankie Kazarian take on Joe Hendry and Elijah. I think Hendry and Elijah stand tall to end the night.
I think Trick and Kazarian win here because Trick loses against Joe on Sunday.
And I'm on the other side of the fence. I think it's possible the Trick wins on Sunday and therefore drops it tomorrow. And Frankie eats the pin.
Yeah, no matter how this works out, Frankie eats the pin.
Basically. So that's Under Siege. That's tomorrow. I plan on being there. I'll be reporting and showing y'all as much as I can with the footage I get. But yeah, that's the show. Cresta, what you got going on?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I love you. You love me. We are one wrestling family. You can see me here every Thursday with Joel Pearl going over all things TNA Impact. Every Saturday, myself, Rick, and Iridian, or some combination of us three, go over all things AEW Collision. This Saturday, we'll be going over Saturday night's main event and doing a rundown of AEW Collision. So fret not. We have your Collision in our little back pocket. Also, if you need more Cresta Star, I'm on all forms of social media. You can find me on Twitter, formerly known as X or whatever it is. Blue Sky, I'm on Twitch. I've been streaming Baldur's Gate, my Randy Orton run. I'm making Randy Orton 09 choices. So that's twitch.tv/CrestaStar if you want to pull up and watch that. Outside of that, all forms of social media, you can find me. I love you. I respect you. Your butt looks nice. I hope you find $20 on the floor. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you?
What does that mean, an 09 Randy Orton decisions? Are they like burning down people's houses or what is this?
So in Baldur's Gate, your decisions affect everything. So I'm thinking, if I'm Randy Orton, what's the most fucked up decision can I do? This lady tried to help me, but then she tried to poison me. And when I said I wouldn't die, you know what happened?
I shot in her bag? Like, what is the, what is this?
Well, I knocked her unconscious. This other guy, I saved this village and then I looted bodies that weren't mine.
And then I put my hands in my pants and I tried to shake my hands with my ball hands.
Nah, man. Listen, Randy Orton made some decisions. So my only ethos is kids don't get harmed. Okay. I'm not Snitsky. Kids don't get harmed. But anybody else, you're fair game.
Just don't shit in the bags, friends. Just don't shit in people's bags.
I'm bringing goblins to a bunch of druids who are living peacefully. And not after these goblins are done because I hear voices in my head.
Well, you can watch John Goblicon play Baldur's Gate with Cresta Star anytime you want on her Twitch.
Honestly, John Goblicon hit me up.
That would be a lot of fun. You know who I am. I'm in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. It's a five-day-a-week show. I'm on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, but we are Monday through Friday. SP3 is on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Jeremy Lambert's all 5 days because he's crazy. We talk about everything, wrestling, non-wrestling, all the stuff. I am live tomorrow with Jeremy. We're going to preview literally all the wrestling for the next 5 days, and we're probably going to cry because there's a lot of wrestling on the next 5 days. So for Cresta Star, you know who I am, you know who she is. Ladies, gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, leave a thumbs up on the way out, 5-star reviews, the whole nine, and we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. TNCs apply. Available in app only.